Hi, this is Jesse
and Amanda
from the See You Next Tuesday podcast.
Thank you for joining Jeff, aka Podcast Father, on this journey,
sharing great things content creators are doing.
He's the indie podcaster.
You've been searching for a podcast. Want to know about some great artists? Yeah. You've come to the right place. Indie Podcaster with your host, the Podcast Father.
It's going to get crazy. It's going to get wild. Indie Podcaster is here. I'm Jeff, aka Podcast Father. I've got Jay with me, Jay Dog from the Hostile Environment Podcast. Hey, man, I really do appreciate you joining me again. Tell us about your great, spectacular, wild podcast. It's a breathtaking journey.
I appreciate the intro, brother. That's hard to follow up on. I'm kind of all over the board. I like to talk about everything, man. I especially like to pick on stupid shit from the internet. I like to just make people laugh, man. I like to make people smile. And at the same time, I'll also get serious when I have to get serious. And yeah, man, I try and cover all the bases. But thanks for the intro. Appreciate it. And feel free to check me out.
Check it out. But Jay, we're going to talk about my guest today. We get around to sharing this conversation. It was Dr. Michelle Mazur. Did you get a chance to look into some of her work and the things she's doing?
I did, man. And color me impressed. Let me tell you, 25 years as a PhD, mother of cats, and a self-proclaimed business builder. I mean, she is truly, impressive. And the conversation that you have with her, I'm sure, is going to be very informative. And I'm looking forward to hearing it.
I kind of filled my way through a lot of these submissions, right, to be on this podcast. But this one, when I read it, was like really, when her team submitted, it was really intriguing to me because I was like, man, I listened to her podcast. It is Rebel Uprising podcast. And I thought, man, this is like valuable information for the listeners of this podcast. Why? Because you can connect all this to podcasting. Podcasts for business owners, entrepreneurs, and speakers who are on a journey to become leaders and influencers. A bunch of experience in public speaking. And her podcast, I just thought, man, like, this is some good stuff.
Hey, you're bound to pick up at least one tip to help build your brand or your business. You're going to talk to her for, what, 30, 40 minutes, I'm guessing? Yeah, so there's going to be at least one thing that she's going to say that can help you. You just have to concentrate on the conversation and pick it out of the conversation and use it. So, this is going to be a good talk.
Yeah, I think that you really have to open your mind to things, right? Like you're thinking, oh, but business discussion. Well, it's more than that because there are principles and things that you can connect to help you as a content creator and, well, to be honest, in everyday life.
Yeah, especially since she, as a doctor and a business leader, like she's clearly very intelligent. So she's going to drop some knowledge bombs and I'm definitely going to listen and I'm going to pick something up.
We're going to get to all that knowledge that'll be flying all over everybody. It's going to be amazing.
Good.
But before we get to that, I'm going to take care of a little business. Woo, woo, woo. You know it. This podcast would not exist without the awesome engagement I get from the community. If you're not in contact with me, I highly encourage you to reach out to me on Twitter at @podcast_father or hit me up under the contact section on my website, podcastfather.com. If you really like what I'm doing, you can buy me a coffee or leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast listening platform. This podcast and myself are proud members of Quite the Thing Media. This network is awesome. It has podcasts that speak to you. Great network full of independent content creators. Go on site and check them out, quitethethingmedia.com. All the music used on this podcast, I credit to the artist Young Karts. Go to the site and listen to the music, youngkartbeats.com. The sponsors of this podcast are amazing. I highly encourage you to show them love just like you do me. PodPage, you can build a beautiful podcast website in 5 minutes. Automatically create a beautiful, listener-friendly podcast website from your RSS feed. Customize the design, get a professional look going. You'll be proud of all your work in just a few clicks. Make it easy and simple. Make sure you go online and create your podcast website, podpage.com. Flex Uptime. If you are a true crime, paranormal, scary, or comedy podcaster looking to find new listeners, consider submitting an episode to Indie Drop-In. Get more listeners, get more exposure. Submit an episode. Go online to indiedropin.com/creators. Oh, hell yeah. Riverside FM is great. Your online recording studio. The easiest way to record studio, quality podcasts, and video interviews from anywhere. If you're a podcaster or content creator, you must go to riverside.fm right now to get started. That's enough of the business. Now it's time to jump into this awesome conversation, which is powered by riverside.fm. Michelle, thanks for taking time out of your busy, crazy day full of podcast guest interviews to have a little chat with me. We're going to have a conversation, not an interview. How's that sound?
That sounds great. And I love talking about podcasts, so I'm so excited for this chat.
Good, good. And I'm excited to have you. I'll give you a second. The floor is all yours. Tell the listeners about yourself. You've got quite a bit going on, but you also do have a podcast. I'll let you walk us through that.
Yeah, so I own a company called Communication Rebel. We do messaging for small businesses and creatives and service providers who are kind of on the cutting edge of their industry, and it's really hard for them to talk about what it is they do. And so I've created this framework called the Three-Word Rebellion that helps them get really clear and radically consistent on what their message is so that when they show up on podcasts or in social media or wherever they're marketing, that they have a message that really resonates and is consistent over time. So that is the business. And the podcast that is my number one marketing vehicle is called Rebel Uprising. And it's really all about how do we take these complex creative ideas and really distill them for our audience. So are people actually grok what we're talking about? And then how do we use that in our marketing, our sales, our PR efforts? So that is the podcast. And I also have a second podcast, which I don't think anyone told you about, but I do a podcast called Duped, The Dark Side of Online Business with my friend Maggie Patterson. So two podcasts, which is super fun.
Super busy too, huh?
Yeah, podcasts are a lot of work, as everyone probably knows.
You're right about that. They really are. So we know why you got how you got the name for your podcast now, right? So that was my first thing. So it's part of your company. It is connected.
Yes. Yes. And it was interesting, like coming up with the name for the podcast, because I do have this, you know, my framework is the Three-Word Rebellion. I have a book by that name. And when I was thinking about the podcast, and because I already had a podcast called The Rebel Speaker, and that podcast was really for... It was when I was doing public speaking coaching. So it was for those professional speakers, aspiring speakers to figure out how to create a great keynote that gets them paid, figure out how to get speaking gigs, all of that. And then I kind of burned out on talking about speaking. Like I felt like I was one Google search away from being replaced. And I also don't love the speaking industry because for an industry that's like, yes, let's pay our speakers, they don't actually want to pay speakers. And so that conflict really bothered me. And what I saw with my clients is they were out there and they were using all of the messaging that we were creating for their speeches and their speaker marketing for their business. I would see it on their homepage or in the launch that they were doing. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. This has a bigger application. And so when I was developing the framework and thinking about the podcast, I was like, okay, it is time for a change. And I didn't want to be so specific that all the podcast could ever talk about was messaging, which if I would have named it the Three-Word Rebellion, that's what it would have been. So I expanded it out to really focus on how messaging and communicating your ideas fits in with all of the different aspects of running a business. And that's how the Rebel Uprising podcast was born.
That's how the uprising started.
Yes.
Going back way before that, tell us how you, really the beginning, you know, going to school and all that stuff, how you got into what you're doing.
Yeah. So, oh my gosh, I have a PhD in communication and I fell in love with communication. I remember this. I was a sophomore in high school and it was public speaking class. And I was terrible. Like I was really, really bad at public speaking. Like I was very shy, super nervous in front of the room. And there was this little voice in my head that was like, you need to master this skill. Like this is something that you can do. And so
I do what people normally do when they suck at something. I decided to do it competitively and joined the speech and debate team. And from there, I just really fell in love with communication, and that led me to studying it and eventually getting my PhD. And I was a professor, and I hated being a professor, but that's probably a story for another show. And then I went into corporate, also hated that, and then realized that I had all of these skills and all of this knowledge about how people communicate and how to shape messages that I could be sharing and also getting paid for. And that's kind of how I morphed into a business. Like, my business started out as a blog. Like, I've been at this for 10 years, like way before the rise of podcasting. But that's how I started. I was just like, okay, I'm just going to put my knowledge out into the world.
This is a neat conversation because a lot of the people I talk to, I have a little format thing that I do every month where, you know, I'll talk to some indie podcasters. I try to get some people in the industry. I'll try to get somebody a little bit more established in podcasting. But yours is different because a lot of people are starting this to have like a hobby or spend time with their friend or talk about something they're passionate about. You actually started the podcast for business purposes.
Yes. Yeah. The podcast had always existed to support the business. I feel like I started podcasting in 2014, 2015, some like a while ago. And I had several hiatuses during that time. But to me, it was such a great medium in order to get people to know, like, and trust me. Because the cool thing about podcasting is, like, you are in somebody's head when you're a podcaster. Like, they are hearing your voice, you're in their brain, and it just really builds that know, like, and trust factor quickly. And it's a great way to support your business because, like, I always think about, like, I don't have any sponsors for my show, but you do hear about how to work with me or about my book on the show. So it is a very much my main marketing squeeze when it comes to the business.
You always hear people say that, I don't want to say you always hear, but you often hear people say that if you own a business, you should start a podcast to benefit from that. Do you agree with that?
It depends. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you don't like podcasting, right? I was working with someone and she's like, well, I feel like I should have a podcast. I'm like, but you hate podcasts. Like, you don't listen to podcasts. I'm like, is that really the best way to get your knowledge, your thought leadership across? Or maybe you should blog or do video, do something different. Like, if you don't like the medium, then you're going to struggle to get it off the ground. Because I feel like, especially with podcasting, you have to have like a love of it, like see the value of it, be a podcast fan yourself in order for it to be really effective for your business.
Absolutely. Because if not, your listeners would, they'll see right through that for sure. Or you wouldn't have any in the first, you wouldn't have many in the first place, should I say. Some people could pull it off, but it wouldn't sustain. Put it that way.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
What are some of the first podcasts you remember listening to that kind of like made you say like, oh, I like, I really like podcasting?
Oh my gosh. So I'm a little bit of a political junkie. So back in the day, there was a podcast by the Obama bros, like Jon Favreau. Now they do like Pod Save America, but I believe it was like Keeping It 1600. And that was one of the first podcasts that I listened to religiously. And that, I mean, that's the one where I really became a true fan of a show. Other than that, I was like always dabbling. Like, people would send me podcasts to listen to, and I check out a couple of episodes of this. And also Serial, that was another gateway into the podcast world. Cause I feel like Serial really put podcasting on the map. So that was another thing where I could really see the power of this medium.
That's a pretty standard answer that's acceptable and I think, you know, meaningful for a lot of people. Like, Serial is huge and there's nothing wrong with listening to political podcasts. Some people still listen to AM radio or they watch the news every day. No different, right? I mean, really?
No. I mean, it's another way to get news. And now when I look at my podcast listening habits, like I was thinking about this for the interview. Like, I listen to things like I'm a huge fan of Maintenance Phase. I listen to the Succession podcast, which is always like the after show. So I really feel like if you looked at my podcast app, it's a reflection of my personality and my interests.
Yeah, as it should be. I mean, I'm kind of like a little bit of the exception, but not really. But I try to like, I obviously speak with a lot of different podcasters every day. Mm-hmm. And I try to listen to as many of their podcasts as possible. Not always my interest, but they ask for support or advice or something, I'm obviously going to listen to their work. But no, I see what you're saying. A normal person's playlist would probably match with their personality for sure.
Yes, 100%.
Hey, listener, are you a podcaster or content creator? Well, you've got to hear this. I'm going to talk to you about Riverside.fm. I use Riverside to record all my interviews for this podcast. I absolutely love it. Super simple to use, and I get the audio quality of an actual recording studio. You can have video resolution up to 4K, uncompressed crystal clear audio, and continuous file uploading throughout your recording. I've used a lot of different things to record this podcast, and I'll be honest with you, some of them were just way more complicated than they needed to be. That will not be an issue with Riverside FM. It is super simple, and with that, you still have the quality audio, which is very critical. The support team is great and always available to assist you with any questions that you may have. Damn it, I'm serious when I say this. Riverside FM is the ultimate great recording solution for podcasters and content creators. Go online right now and check it out. You can do a free trial and give it a shot. I guarantee afterwards you will be so happy with it. You'll be looking through all the different packages and you will find one that meets your needs. Legitimize the content you are recording and creating. Go to riverside.fm right now to get started. Your team reached out to me, and part of what they were talking about is this rebranding process.
Yes.
What you did with your podcast. Can you explain that?
Yeah. So when I reached that point of no return with the Rebel Speaker, like I can't do this anymore. I don't want to do this podcast in this form. Luckily, it was like during the holidays, so I had a little luxurious time to think about what's next. And that's when I started working on the messaging framework. And then the question was like, well, what do I want this podcast to be evolving into? And the reason I rebranded it versus shutting it down and doing a new podcast altogether was that for me, it was still going to serve the same audience because I was working with speakers, and speakers are typically business owners. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of funny because I look at it and I'm like, oh, I was really niching up instead of niching down with my work.
Which that's not a bad thing. Like that could pay off too if done right.
Oh, 100%. Like, well, and especially with podcasting, you don't always just, I didn't just want to be trapped talking about speaking all of the time. And not that those speaking podcasts are still available. Like you can still listen to them to this very day because they're valuable. There's good information in there. That information is evergreen. So it still exists. It wasn't feeding me, and I knew my message and my work could have a bigger, broader impact. So then anytime I'm pivoting, whether it's shifting a podcast or the business, and this time it was happening simultaneously, the next step was to let my people know, like, hey, the Rebel Speaker is going to be no more. I am thinking about pivoting in this direction. Tell me what you think.
What'd they say?
And, you know, most people, and when I was talking about going more into messaging, most people were like, oh, yeah, this makes so much sense to me. Oh, and I didn't really get any negative feedback, like, no, I'm just going to unsubscribe. And if they wanted to unsubscribe, they could totally do that. I made that very clear that you had that choice when I started talking about the rebrand. But most people were very excited about it, interested to see inside, like, how do you go through this rebrand of your podcast? Because I was very transparent, very messy. And even as I was launching the new framework, the three-word rebellion with the podcast, like I was doing things like, hey, I have this new idea. I'm going to do a webinar on it. Please come and give me feedback. Like, I just want your feedback and your input to make this stronger, to make this better. And so it was the same with the podcast. And some people would give me some topic ideas, which I always love because we're all very hungry for new topic ideas as podcasters. And so from there, I was like, okay, people seem on board with this. That's good. And then for me, it was about going into what the podcast premise would be. Like, what's the new direction of the show? What are the things that I want to talk about? What are the things I know that my listeners want to talk about? And also surveying them and finding, getting more feedback in that area. And then I rolled the rebrand out pretty slowly. So I did like 4 podcast episodes preparing people for the new podcast. So talking about like why the change is happening, what we're going to be covering, what we're not going to be covering. I'm really just doing a series about how the show is changing and what to expect. And hey, there's going to be new branding that's going to pop up in your podcast feed. And you're going to be like, what is this? And it's just the new podcast. So people were really prepared and really ready so that when I flipped the switch and uploaded like the new podcast art, the new description, the new intro, outro, all of that for the show, people knew what to expect. And I had given them ample time to decide to unsubscribe if they didn't want to be a part of that transition, because that's fine too. Because if they just want to hear me talk about speaking, then this wasn't the podcast for them anymore.
What would you say it did for your business after you did rebrand it? And how long did it take before you started seeing the benefits of rebranding your podcast for your business?
Oh, that's such a good question. I would say it probably took about 6 months-ish before I started seeing a real kind of return on investment. I don't even want to call it a return on investment. Because when you are shifting in your business and your podcast is a reflection of that, there's this thing that can happen where it's like you still get lots of inquiries for the old thing that you used to be doing. So I was still very much doing some public speaking coaching because I wasn't yet known for this messaging work, and this framework was brand new and I was just testing out how to work with people within the 3-Word Rebellion. So I would say it was probably about 6 months in, and then all of a sudden I just noticed there was like this shift in who was showing up and the type of inquiries I was getting. Instead of them being like 80% speaking, all of a sudden it was like 50% speaking and 50% messaging. And so it was just this gradual shift over time. But it took a good 6 months, and I think that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about audio is like the sponsors that I've worked with recently or even over the years for my different content I've created, it takes a long time to get the impact of something through audio. It takes time. It's more repetitive than like watching a commercial, right? Like visually things can be really appealing. Not that things can't be appealing that you listen to them, but it just doesn't process in your brain right. Like the science behind that for sure. But audio wise, you really need to repetitively hear something over and over again. So when we work and we do like 3-month things at a time, it's really like a trial period for them. But as you get a little bit further along, when the people have heard it more and more, typically, even, you know, working in marketing all these years like I have, that's when you start seeing results. So the 6-month thing makes perfect sense.
Yeah. I mean, it is that consistency over time. And it's funny, like I even think about, you know, sponsors of podcasts that I listen to. It might take me months about hearing the same kind of commercial for a service or for a product before I actually check it out and try it, even though I probably have heard it 100 times. But then I do, and I'm like, oh, okay. Oh, yeah, I have a promo code from this podcast. That's where I heard about it from. So there is that. Yeah, I do think it just takes more time, which is great. Like if you're a business owner, that means you can repurpose and remix content and talk about it again and again and again, because people aren't going to remember. They do need to hear it again.
What are some things with rebranding that you think that people really struggle to understand?
I would say the first thing is don't fear rebranding your podcast, especially if it's for your business or even if your interests have changed, right? Like we're human beings, businesses evolve, our interests evolve. So don't be afraid of that, because I've seen people hang on to a podcast way too long and not let it evolve as they are evolving as a human being, as a business owner. So that would be the first thing. And then I think the second part of where I see people struggle is really developing a solid podcast premise that differentiates them from everyone else. Because let's face it, there are a ton of business podcasts out there. You know, like there's a ton of political podcasts out there. There's a ton of, you know, podcasts that talk about true crime out there. So figuring out like what is your premise and how are you different and what your audience is going to get, I feel like that's, I mean, I know that was hard for me, so I'm figuring it's hard for other people too.
I want to do something a little bit different. I don't know if I've ever done this. Listening to several episodes of your podcast, I want to go through the episode titles and have you explain that, because a lot of them are very fascinating to me. And I think the listeners of this podcast could benefit from hearing. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, we'll see how I do.
And we can see if we can connect it to podcasting. That'll be like our challenge here. Try to mix it up a little bit. Okay, your latest one was a good one that came out yesterday. A question every business owner should ask.
So what I love, this question that I'm asking is from a book called Everybody Writes. And it's basically like, and since I do messaging, the question that Anne Handley poses in her book is like, oh, if we strip the branding away from your website, no logo, your name's not there, would people still recognize that business as yours? And that to me is like straight up words, straight up messaging. But what's great about that title is that it invokes curiosity. It's creating a knowledge gap, right? So they hear, oh, one question every business owner should ask themselves. I wonder what that question is. I better hit play and find out, because once we kind of open a loop in our brain wants to solve the puzzle. It wants more information. So I try to really put a lot of curiosity into my titles.
Exactly why, right? It's like, it catches you like, I got to listen to this one.
Mm-hmm.
This one I loved. Case study, why you should stop nurturing your audience. Love it. Love the episode. I'm serious. I love the episode. I love the title. I thought it was great. This really relates to podcasting for sure.
Yeah. So in that episode, I see this with my clients. I see it in myself. And it's actually a case study of my own business. And I'm talking about a problem that is over-nurturing. And over-nurturing is simply producing great value and putting out great content, great podcasts, without ever making an ask, without ever asking for a sale or for support, because maybe you have a Patreon that they should know about, right? And I see this so much. And in that podcast episode, I kind of dive, like I was like, honestly, I was having a temper tantrum about my email list. And I was like, none of my clients come from my email list. And so my coach was like, you need to check that. Like, go and see where your last like 20 clients came from. And all but three were on my email list. But what was interesting is that the vast majority of the people who decided to work with me decided within the first 2 weeks to 3 months, like over 60%. As soon as they joined my list, it took them 2 weeks to 3 months to work with me. And I was like, oh, that's pretty quick. That's really fast. And part of that is because they were podcast listeners before they joined. So they had heard me a lot. But the other part of that, it's like, oh, this is why you always need to make sure that you're telling people how they can support you, how they can work with your business, because we're so afraid of making that ask, even though we show up and we provide value week after week. And podcasting is such a great way to nurture people. And I hear business podcasts all the time where it's like, I know you work with people. It might be really helpful if you told me what it is you do for people in case I'm interested in hiring you.
So
we need to stop over nurturing our audiences and realize it's like, especially if you're a business, you are a business. Your business's job is to generate revenue. So let people know how they can work with you. And it doesn't have to be sleazy or spammy or salesy or any of that. Like, it can fit in really naturally to the podcast itself.
Yeah, especially if you're approaching your podcast, whether it's from the beginning or as you go along, from a business standpoint, you have mm-hmm. to treat it like a business. And that's a struggle for all of us. Like, I start this podcast with more of like a passion for a lot of the stuff I've done over the last 15 years for creating content. Yeah. And I want to give back to it. But it's become a bit of a business. And I myself often will be guilty of that, like you just said, overdoing it. Probably given maybe a little bit more than I should. Then mm-hmm. what's the payoff, right?
Yeah.
And we all, I think that's relatable because we all struggle with that as content creators. You want to have value. How do you not ruin that value, but actually make that more valuable?
Yeah. And one of the things, I really view my podcast as a product. It's like in the suite of things that I offer. And yes, it's free, but when I'm creating it, I want to put the same time and attention I would into delivering a service to a client. So when you kind of think about it like, oh, this is a product that I'm offering people, I think it elevates your podcast, but also it makes it more natural to kind of put that ask in the episode.
Love it. All right, next one. The missing ingredient for wildly effective word of mouth marketing. I enjoyed that one too. And I want to point this out. When we're talking episodes here to everybody listening, these are short. They're not some 45-minute Jeff rant like I go on, but 10, 15, 20-minute episodes that are easy listened and great valuable information for content creators, business owners, for anybody who has interest in it. I'm going to take a minute here to tell you about a fine sponsor of this podcast, Indie Drop-In. If you're a true crime, paranormal, scary, or comedy podcaster looking to find new listeners, consider submitting an episode to be featured on Indie Drop-In shows. If your episode meets some minimum requirements, Indie Drop-In will play your episode to real listeners. The best part is the listeners like your show. Indie Drop-In provides easy links for them to subscribe. It's 100% free. You get to drop your feed into a established feed that already has actual, real listeners. This is great, guys. This is an amazing way to grow your audience. These listeners are already there. They listen to your episode on Indie Drop-In feed. They will go over and find your podcast and become a subscriber and love it. Greg, the creator of Indie Drop-In, just absolutely loves being involved in the independent podcast community. He is a great podcast mind. Make sure you give him a follow on Twitter at Indie Drop-In. But more importantly, go to indiedropin.com/creators. Get the submission going and submit an episode of your podcast into the Indie Drop-In feed. Hurry now. Get to it.
Well, and that was one of my philosophies with the podcast is that I almost wanted to make it bingeable. So like you could listen to three podcasts while you were out on a walk or doing your dishes and get something really valuable out of it, because there are so many podcasts that, you know, they're an hour long, or some of them are like 2 hours long. Mm-hmm. And yep. You're like, I don't really have time for this. So I've always wanted to make mine a little bit shorter, a little bit more bingeable, so that you could get more from one listening session. So that podcast episode about the missing ingredient for word of mouth marketing, once again, very curious. Like, I am really playing up curiosity with that one, because now you're like, ooh, what is that missing ingredient? And this podcast really came out of conversations that I was having with clients who rely a lot on word of mouth. And their problem was their clients didn't know how to refer them. Like, they didn't have a language for saying like, oh, Jeff is great. This is what he did for me. This is like my experience. They would talk about them like, oh, Jeff, he's a magical unicorn. He can do it all.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, you have to be able to train. Like, I hate to say train, but it is. It's like you have to be able to train your clients and customers who love you in how to talk about your work. And that goes back to messaging, because if people don't know how to refer you, or it's like you're the magical unicorn who's changed their lives, that is not a compelling message to another human being who's thinking about getting a coach, for instance.
We're a little past it, but let's take a step back here and explain to somebody who may be not quite as aware what, when you're saying messaging, what it means.
Yeah. So what I look at, messaging is really a system that runs across your business. And it's about how do you powerfully communicate the value your business creates in order to get people's attention when they don't know you yet? How do you do it when they're thinking about, they're in that consideration phase? Like, oh, what are the conversations I need to say in order to show people that I understand the problem that they're having and I can help them with that? And then what do you need to say in the sales process? So it is a system that kind of sits above your marketing, sales, and PR effort. And it just allows you to always know what to say in order to get your point across and in order to persuade and influence.
Great definition. I think it's probably should have got to that earlier, but those listening may be like, what is that? You know? So once you explain that, you're like, oh, then when you listen to your podcast, it all makes sense.
Yeah, because I feel like messaging is one of those things that it's almost invisible in our business. It's a little bit like electricity. When electricity works, it's great, right? Everything yep. runs on time. We get to go to our meetings, have our calls. But when the power goes out, everything comes to a stop. And that's what messaging is like. When your messaging is right, people understand what it is you do. They're able to refer you, your marketing works, and you get opportunities to speak and be on podcasts. But when it doesn't work, it's like everything stops or everything just feels like you're swimming in molasses.
Another one that I did really like, create standout calls to action. And this can really relate to podcasting.
Yeah. So this is really related to the whole like over nurturing thing as well.
Yep.
It's like, but how do you create a call to action? And I see so many people make so many mistakes on this. Like, so the biggest one I see on podcasts or in content in general is having way too many calls to action. Like, oh, you can sign up for a discovery call or buy my book or get my course. And now there's like three or four different actions. And the person's like, I don't know which one to take. Just tell me what it is that I should do. And really that podcast episode. And I think as a podcaster, when you're scripting your episode, however you do that, you have to think intentionally about, well, what is the call to action here? Like, if you're in a business, it's like, what am I selling this month? Maybe this month I'm just talking about my book on the podcast, and that's the thing I really want to be selling. So that's what my call to action. But maybe I need some clients the next month. Great. That will be my call to action. So it's really like, how do we get more intentional and create a call to action that supports our business, but also supports the content that we're creating?
Calls to action are very powerful. You have to really choose wisely when to do them. And I'll give a good example of something that I was involved with recently. Had a good buddy that I've met through social media, podcaster, you know, smaller podcaster, mm-hmm. took a hiatus for a while just to deal with various things. And mm-hmm. he was coming back, and I suggested an episode to do. I think this one would do well. And he made the episode up. I liked it. So I played this card on social media, call to action. Everybody, please check out, you know, my friend's podcast. It's been on hiatus. He's got a brand new episode after a while. And it mm-hmm. has been his most downloaded episode during that time period ever since he's started the podcast. And I told him, like, yeah, that's a powerful thing to do when people trust you. It's not something I can do every day, though, because it has to be meaningful and you have to do it the right way.
Yeah. And especially when we're like, because sharing a resource, right, mm-hmm. is because that's what you're doing. You're promoting somebody else's platform. And so you want to make sure like, okay, this is quality. I want my people to hear that. And so you have to take that it's a responsibility and taking that seriously, because you don't want to shout out a podcast or give a call to action and then whatever they're doing is actually kind of crappy, right? Because
yeah, yeah.
that like erodes trust between you and your listener. Because all of a sudden they're like, well, what the heck is Jeff doing? Why is he suggesting this crappy thing?
Yeah, the next time they'll say, the hell with Jeff, right?
Yeah. They're like, I'm not, he duped me in the past, man. I'm not doing this again.
Exactly. So this one I really do like, and we're going back to really not quite a year, but earlier in the year for you. What to think about when your audience growth stalls out?
Oh, yeah. I'm going back in the way back machine.
That was another one that I enjoyed because we often find that sometimes you can experience growth quickly, then you mm-hmm. kind of peak. Then what's next?
Yeah, and then you kind of plateau. And plateauing is not necessarily a bad thing. Like, you can Correct. Have very loyal people. But after a while, you have to think, like, oh, why isn't the audience growing? And it's a really good question to ask, which is why I posed it that way. And it's such a common problem that whether you're a podcaster or a business owner, you're having to think about. And I remember, like, one of the reasons is that you're not doing enough to attract people that don't know about you yet. So in business, we call that building brand awareness. So building podcast awareness, right? So we have been doing shows for our hardcore fans who have been with us from the beginning. Now, your hardcore fans are going to love those shows, but they are not going to resonate with somebody who just stumbles upon your podcast, right? Because it's too advanced. There might be too much insider language that they're not following along with. You know, they feel like they entered a movie halfway through. And they just feel like, oh, well, this isn't meant for me. This is meant for the people who already are in this club, that I am clearly on the outside. I've had that experience too with podcasts where I, like, listen in and they have these acronyms or these segments and I don't understand what they're about because it's the first time I'm listening to their show. And so that can cause us to just plateau. And I've seen this, like, with my clients. I remember I was working with one person and she had these people who were fanatical about her work, just loved her work. And she's like, but my audience isn't growing. And I'm like, because you're only talking to your fanatics. Like, it's great that they love you, but you have to be creating for people who don't know you yet. And then giving that content to your super fans to share.
That was a really fun exercise there. And I think it was really my way to show the listeners that I value your opinion. And I think that it doesn't even have to be podcasting, even though you have a podcast. But all that stuff is relatable when it comes to strategic planning for growth. Call it a business, call it content creation, call it whatever you want. It doesn't work, like, not the same thing will not work for everybody, but there are basic fundamental principles that are best business practice on anything.
Yes, I agree. And I, you know, one of the big things that I always go back to with, like, business fundamentals is, who are you creating this for? Like, even if it's a hobby podcast, like, who is the audience for this? Like, what do they care about? What are they seeing, hearing, feeling, doing? What are they struggling with? Because that, I feel like keeping that in the back of your mind is how you can really connect with potential clients or potential listeners, because they're like, oh, this podcast is for me. They're speaking directly to me and what's going on in my head. And that, I feel, is a principle that you can see in podcasting and in business. And I think it's a principle we lose a lot of sight around. Like, we always forget, like, this isn't about me. It's really about the listener.
It's important to, like, not be afraid to learn new things and try to approach things from different angles. It's also important to, you don't want to think you're too good to learn either, because everybody should be learning something every day.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, with, like, messaging and, you know, or figuring out what your content's going to be or what you're going to talk about, that's an experiment, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we have to, because we don't have a direct line into the heads of our people to get feedback, especially with podcasts, you're going to experiment around, like, oh, well, maybe I'll talk about this topic for a few episodes and see how people resonate with it. And then if that works, it's like, okay, maybe I'll double down on that. But if it doesn't work, you're like, okay, the downloads aren't there. I'm not getting the email responses that I normally get. All of that is feedback that allows you to kind of change course and keep tweaking and keep learning.
Absolutely. So for your podcast, what are some things you've got going on or you would like to do in the future?
Ooh, that is such a good question. So one of the things I'm thinking a lot about, because I have, like, 260 something episodes, is repurposing, because I have a lot of excellent content that is in the content archives of the podcast.
You got to scroll to get to it.
Yeah, you got to really scroll to get to it. And I want to resurface some of those conversations, some of those thoughts. So I'm really looking into, like, how can I repurpose this podcast? How can I use it again? Or maybe clean it up, put a different spin on it, different intro, outro, whatever it needs to give that content more life. So that's one of the big projects that I've been thinking a lot about, because my content is evergreen. It's not like I'm doing a news podcast where it changes every single day and 2 days later it's completely out of date. Like, these principles that I'm talking about stand the test of time. So how can I resurface some of these and make a little less work for myself, especially when I'm recording my second podcast?
Good luck with that. Godspeed, right?
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I think it's a thing that I've come to realize, and I start thinking and I've been kind of planning about, how do you bring out that back catalog of episodes? Because they do have value. And I always think it's crazy and a misstep for sponsors or advertising when you're thinking about just what's going on right now, because there's value back on what's been created before.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, sometimes it's helpful to look at your podcast downloads and figure out, like, what are your top episodes that resonated with people. But I also think it's helpful to realize that you might have episodes that were diamonds in the rough that maybe didn't get the downloads that you wanted or the reaction that you wanted to see. And it might just need, like, a new title, right? A new, more curiosity-provoking title that makes people really want to listen to it. Or maybe you need to reframe it or give it a different problem, give it a different spin. So I think that's one of the things I look for. It's like, what are the things that I know about messaging and marketing that are super important, but those podcasts didn't get the traction that I would like to see?
I feel the same way, and because there's a big opportunity with that.
And especially for business owners, I see us working so hard to create all of this content on a consistent basis. And then all of a sudden, like, I'm 10 years into my business, so I have a huge library of content. And yes, some of it's on speaking and it's not as relevant anymore, but there's a lot of good nuggets in there throughout the years. And it's nice to think about, like, how could I do less, but do it better this time around?
We've covered a lot of different principles and stuff in the last, 40 minutes?
Yeah.
Following these principles and things that you discussed, what has that done for you?
Yeah. So the first thing is, there is this business benefit that I see, because if I get on a sales conversation with somebody because I ask, like, how did you find me on my intake form for sales? And if they say, oh, I listened to your podcast or I heard you on another podcast, they already know my voice, my personality. They have a really good grasp of who I am and my work. And so, like, I know those people are very warm, if not very hot, leads for the work that I do. So it definitely has this business benefit. But also, I think having your own podcast, it allows you to put your own thought leadership out in the world. It allows you to be known for something. It allows you to get on podcasts and talk about your area of expertise or your podcast. So it can really serve as this platform. And finally, for me, it's also just a creative outlet. Like, I enjoy writing the scripts. Some days I enjoy recording, other days.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It can be like cats yowling in the background as I'm trying to do a podcast, or I have a cold and my voice isn't working, you know, all of those things. But, you know, for the most part, like, I enjoy the process. I enjoy creating the scripts. I enjoy figuring out, like, what my calls to action are going to be. So it really is this creative endeavor for me. That's a lot of fun.
I do want to give you another minute to talk about all the different things you're involved in and where to find your work, because I do suggest it. I think it relates to what content creators are doing, and they should definitely give it a listen.
Yeah. So the Rebel Uprising podcast, you can find it on your favorite podcasting platform. And also, if you go to my website, go to drmichellemazur.com/podcast. There is the landing page for the podcast with some of my favorite episodes that I have highlighted. Then also, if you're interested in the dark side of online business, talking about like manipulative marketing tactics and all that stuff, you can also go to duped.online, and that's that podcast. And other than that, you can find me at drmichellemazur.com, get a free taste of my book at threewordrebellion.com. There's a free chapter there if you're interested more in the marketing, messaging and marketing side of things. And yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm at Dr. Michelle Mazur on Twitter, if anyone's interested. But then I was listening to that episode with Ariel, and you guys were talking about podcast Twitter, and I'm like, I didn't even know that existed. How cool is that? So yeah, maybe I'll play with that more in the new year.
Yeah, well, to get you in front of some indie podcasters and let them converse with you, engage with you, and learn something, I think it'd be great.
Yeah, it sounds super fun. So I'm game.
Great. Hey, well, I've had a hell of a fun time with this conversation. And like I said, everything will be in the show notes you just discussed. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to have this conversation with me. It was beneficial for everybody.
Oh, so grateful to have this time with you. And I'm so glad it was helpful.
You know where to find me. Put it that away.
Excellent.
Thanks again. Thanks for listening, and thanks for telling a friend. But more importantly, thank you for supporting independent content creators. I hope you enjoyed this episode and continue to listen to the upcoming ones. I'm really trying to do something special here by highlighting all the amazing things all these amazing content creators are doing. I hope you continue to join me on my journey. I'm Jeff, aka Podcast Father, the indie podcaster. Keep being you, keep being great.